I'm Jason Van Medding.
And I'm Ksenia Chmutina.
Welcome to Disasters Deconstructed podcast. So let's talk about our new podcast.
Yeah, we're doing it.
Yes, we are.
Exciting.
What do we call it?
Disasters Deconstructed.
Why though?
I don't know. Whose idea was it?
Yours.
What?
The name? Oh, I don't know.
The podcast was your idea. I remember that. You just kind of shell-shocked me into this.
Yeah. So I think what happened was I just had a revelation. And I thought, oh, I'll give Ksenia a call because she'll like this idea.
Yeah, it was 6 a.m. for me.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yeah.
On a bus or something?
Sure. Yeah, I was walking to the bus stop to go to work.
Mm.
I was just like, yeah, at 6 a.m. sounded like a brilliant idea.
Come in.
I know. No, it is a good idea.
I think so.
Right? Even if we're saying so ourselves.
Hopefully other people think it's a good idea too.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll give us like a couple of weeks to kind of win them over.
And then
a couple more weeks.
And then
until you say some really bad jokes or something, and then people get scared off.
I never say bad jokes.
No, you don't.
No, but really, so cool. And it's kind of cool that we're recording this episode in the same place as well, because I guess there won't be that many of the episodes that we would record in this studio.
No, that's true.
Right?
The studio.
The studio. I think you need to change the sign on the door. Well, I have two signs. It's Jason Van Medding, and then when we record, it's like this studio.
This studio or Disasters Deconstructed podcast studio?
That's a bit too long. I don't think it'll fit into your name tag.
I can put it on the wall above my door.
Can you have like a running text, you know, that keeps kind of looping like that?
Yes.
In like, you know, Microsoft 98 yes. Ants kind of font. That'll be really cool.
That'd be so cool. At least for us.
Yeah, well, we'll enjoy it. Like, what else matters, right?
True.
So, this is season one.
Mm-hmm.
Launching today. Ta-da! And then we're going to run for 20 weeks, I think. Right?
For the
second season, and third, and fourth, and...
Until we're famous, right?
Yeah, I think we'll need quite a few seasons to achieve that.
We need a few seasons.
Yeah. But yeah, so we plan to release weekly on Mondays, hopefully. And we'll share 30-minute episodes with you every week.
Mm-hmm. So in this first episode, we wanted to discuss a little bit about why we are making this podcast and what we see as a need for this kind of discussion. And we want to share a bit about what we have planned for the first season and also about how we want to get all of you guys involved that are listening and build a bit of a community to discuss the root cause of disasters and kind of the societies in which disasters occur and the people that are involved, which is kind of very important to us.
Right. I guess we ought to introduce ourselves as well.
Yeah, I think...
Do people know us?
No, we should probably...
Yeah, okay, you go first.
All right. So I'm Jason Van Medding. I am currently, quite recently moved over to the University of Florida and to join a new research institute called Florida Institute for Built Environment Resilience. I'm located in Gainesville, and I guess my research has kind of taken me from being a designer. I studied architecture and worked in an architecture firm when I was a lot younger, and but I, through my studies, was exposed to the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, where I did a research dissertation just after Hurricane Katrina, and I did field work out in the Gulf Coast of the US. As a lot of people, or as was the case for a lot of people, Hurricane Katrina was kind of a inroad into this area of study and interest. So that was my first experience of disasters, and first experience of disaster literature. And then, anyway, my kind of love for that research side of things took me into a PhD, and I did my PhD on post-disaster project management, and ended up going from Queen's University, Belfast, where I did my PhD, over to University of Newcastle in Australia for the last 6 years, and built up my sort of experience conducting research, putting together teams, writing, and a lot of what I do now and have done the past few years is trying to look more at how do we actually generate impact from our research, and using different ways of or different mediums of communication besides academic writing, which is obviously important to both of us and to the field to have high quality academic writing, but it can become very much siloed and sometimes a bit of a pitched at a very, very select audience, which is kind of your peer group. And I think what's important for me is thinking about how do we actually create impact with that research. And so this is why I've focused a lot on things like writing in more journalistic ways for magazines and newspapers, trying to develop film components to my research projects, and of course now making a podcast, and I'm trying to break down what it is that we do in our research about disasters into language that anybody can really understand. So that's where I'm at. What about you?
Oh, what about me? Well, I'm Ksenia Chmutina. I'm at Loughborough University in the UK, where I've been for 8 years now. So came there as a postdoc. And just kind of my pathway to disasters was really quite random, I think. I'm actually a political scientist by training. I did my first degree in Russia, and then I moved to China, where I did my master's in politics and communication. Very useful. But kind of through that, I started being really interested in how environmental propaganda is communicated in China, you know, because they use like lots of posters and visual stuff, and it was all about ecology and environmental protection. And I didn't really know much about climate change or environment before then, because in Russia we don't really kind of study it as much. But yeah, maybe my ignorance as well, you know, didn't help. And then I got placed to a PhD in Nottingham, which was engineering. Through blood and tears, and a lot of lectures and kind of learning, I've managed to get a PhD. But it had nothing again to do with resilience or disasters. It was about building regs and kind of policy. And I came to Loughborough to work on a project as a postdoc because I knew case study methodology, because I could do like policy analysis, you know, all this non-engineering stuff. In the school of what is now is architecture, building and civil engineering. So it was really cool to get a position there, because I was kind of immediately exposed, you know, to people who speak completely different language and who kind of think differently, you know, and engage with different theories and methodologies. So it was great fun. And then just absolutely by chance, a good friend of mine now, you know, then Lee Bosher, whom I didn't even know then, kind of, he was looking for a postdoc and I was looking for a job. And so I ended up working with him. And it sort of all started there, you know, the whole love and interest in disaster studies and kind of resilience. And Jason is just absolutely laughing his head off as I'm trying to express the sentiment.
So good.
But yeah, so
love blossomed.
Yeah, love blossomed. I'm not so sure. Kind of love and pain of disaster studies. So I come to this field with a transdisciplinary understanding of built environments. And so my research really looks at disaster risk creation in the cities and the built environment, you know, so what it is we do as decision makers, as built environment professionals, or what it is we don't do that leads to disasters in cities. So, you know, what policy decisions we don't take, whom it is we don't consider, you know, why don't we talk to each other? So how do we end up with disasters? So yeah, it's fun. It's great area to be in. And I've met some absolutely fantastic people, you know, over the years. But as Jason said, communication is the problem. And I've learned that kind of hard way, you know, even between ourselves as academics, we can't communicate properly. So what are we expecting, you know, from ourselves? And, you know, should we be better at communicating? I guess the answer is yes, since I'm here now, at least for me. So yeah, that's the podcast, really.
Yeah, and so I think what we are trying to do with this podcast is to bring to you guys, the audience, lots of voices from communities, from academia, from practice, to talk about some of these difficult issues that we need to address when we're discussing why disasters happen in society and how we can prepare for, respond to, recover from, and actually beyond only thinking of disasters as things that we kind of deal with. Think about why do disasters happen in the first place, and can we go take a step back and actually think about why that risk is there in the first place?
That's right.
And so that's going to be really central to the podcast for sure. We use the name Disasters Deconstructed to kind of indicate that we are going to take these things apart, and we're going to just question everything about what we do. Mm. And we have some amazing guests lined up for season one that we're going to... we'll talk a bit more about what we're planning for season one a bit later. But another thing we wanted to do in the podcast is to actually share some of the stuff that we're working on as we progress on different things that we're writing, yeah, different things that we're doing in terms of proposals, you know, research projects we're working on.
Yeah, just general engagement, yeah, kind of, with colleagues and friends. And...
yeah, and even beyond that, we're thinking of how to bring discussion about current events into the show too. So while things are happening that are obviously in the news, can we provide a different perspective on some of those things, which is beyond what you're getting from the media, which is, as we know, and as we'll discuss even in this first season, can be very misleading.
Yeah, but also if you have any ideas on how we can discuss this and what it is we need to discuss, you know, certainly tweet at us or email us, because we'd like to involve you, you know, the audience, as much as we can.
Absolutely. And actually next week we're doing just that. So next week is our audience special. Right up front, we thought it would be really cool to invite you guys to send us some reflections on a question that we put up on Twitter, and we got some really cool responses. So log back in next week and check out episode 2 of season 1, where you guys will take center stage.
Exciting. Right, so shall we talk about the plans for season 1?
I think so.
So, natural disasters. That's where it all started, really, isn't it? I guess that's how the idea came about. And what we actually wanted to do is just to spend, maybe have just one episode discussing, oh, why disasters are not natural. Because I think we both are quite passionate against fighting the expression, the use of the expression. And then we realized that we start recording that actually we can probably talk to each other and other people about this for like a week nonstop. Mm. Which we've been successfully doing, I think, with Jason, right? So we figured that actually we need to really deconstruct the idea of disasters and whether they're natural or not. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much our first season.
So we have a lot of stuff coming up, among which is as I said, an audience special where we're getting your thoughts on whether disasters are ever natural. don't make Ksenia mad. Be careful.
Yeah, Russian bear. Yeah. You know, I warned you. Do not wake the Russian bear up.
So we have stuff coming up like, taking apart the different, what we might call ingredients of a disaster. So we have kind of a mini series coming up about that. We're talking to people about kind of storytelling and narratives and myths of disaster. And then we'll reflect on some of the academic work that Ksenia and I have been undertaking and some of the papers that we've been writing, looking at the expression natural disaster as it appears in literature.
Mm. What else? Well, we're going to discuss it. It's not just the two of us who are just going to tell you why disaster is not natural.
No, we don't like that.
Don't worry. I think it's just a couple of episodes where it'll be just us, I guess. But we've got some amazing people who will talk to us about it. So very exciting. And, we'll post some teasers and we will be announcing who's coming on different podcasts. There's a lot of stuff to look forward to, I think.
I think so. So what else to say about the podcast? It's maybe a little bit about the style, because we're not planning for it to be academic. I mean, the danger is both of us are working in academia, where we obviously have some sort of tendency to slide into using jargon and talking very abstractly. So it's something that we're very conscious of.
Yeah, so we're going to have an isms jar for the podcast. So anyone who's using isms
and gets penalized.
The terminology gets penalized. In what currency? I don't know. We haven't discussed that.
Well, we could set up like PayPal something. They need to click on the
Bitcoin. Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Ism jar in Bitcoin. Good plan.
Yeah.
We can have our own ism jar in our offices.
Yeah.
In the studio.
In your studio and in my office. Yeah.
You two can have a studio.
Okay, fine. I feel so much better.
You need one of these arms for your microphone.
The hanging microphone thing. Yeah. Okay.
I think it's really important though, and we're very conscious of the need to scale back the language, the jargon that we use in our field, because often our messages and our findings, even if they're very compelling and important and have the potential for making a big impact, are completely lost because they're never really communicated in languages that the audience that needs to hear them can understand.
That's right, yeah. And I think, now there is quite a nice movement towards translating the language. And, we're not just talking about kind of translation into different languages. It's translating from English, academic English, to plain English. And we will be talking a lot about kind of the contested terms, that we're using in disaster studies, like vulnerability and capacity and resilience. And even disasters, like what does it mean? How do you define resilience, Jason?
Exactly.
For example, right?
And I think that we'll probably need to have an episode on that, Ksenia.
Oh, I can't wait.
I know. Who should we get to talk about that?
Ooh, so many people.
Yeah.
Yeah, so many people.
We should maybe have a group so that we can have an argument.
A group discussion.
Yeah.
It'll be more like Academics Anonymous kind of, how do you define resilience? And then they'll say, I'm so-and-so.
I haven't used resilience for like 6 days.
That will be the best. Maybe we should do that. It's like a counseling session, How do you overcome the resilience terminology in your research? And that comes from a person who has resilience in her job title.
I have it in my signature.
Oh, the irony. But yeah, so we will try and stay away from that kind of high-level academic language.
Yeah. And that's it. It's kind of inevitable. We use these kind of... we use these words and they... ultimately they're just constructs,
right,
about a story in society. And so what we're really trying to get at is those stories, especially at a local level, like from the people that experience risk and disasters.
Yeah.
What does it really mean to them? What does it feel like? How do they experience everyday risk? Yeah. And so it's exciting. We do plan to not only sit in our studio and record, but we also are planning to get out in the field and talk to,
right,
talk to people who are living in communities that face different threats.
Yeah.
And I think that'll be a pretty cool part of the podcast.
That would be exciting.
We've also got the IREC conference coming up, and we're going to do some live recordings and lots of cool people visiting Florida that we're going to talk to. So lots to look forward to, and I'm excited.
So excited. Mm. So in season one, we will, you know, the golden kind of thread through the whole season will be about deconstructing, or, you know, breaking the idea of natural, in quotation mark, disasters. So whilst there's a lot of research and, you know, there's so much literature kind of showing why disasters are not natural, unfortunately, we still see, you know, pretty much every day on the news that, I don't know, Japan has been affected by a natural disaster, or, you know, the worst fire in 100 years, like, oh, and that is the worst natural disaster. So it's just, the phrase is just so embedded in the way we think and the way we talk about disasters. And I think, you know, immediately when I tell people what it is I do, everyone says, ah, so you do research on natural disasters.
Yeah, same.
Right? And then you kind of, I can't just sort of jump into people and say, well, actually, disasters are not natural, because that is not the point, right? I guess is the point is to make people realize that why disasters are not natural. There's no point sort of telling people off. But how do we do that? That is really, really difficult. And why people are still using the phrase natural disaster, particularly those who should know better, you know, academics, policymakers, why do they... why do they use the term? I guess it's all about power. It's all about man, in quotation mark, versus nature. And it's kind of about convenience, I guess, as well, right?
Yeah, there's so many different agendas at play. I think when we think about why the expression persists, even though there's been many decades of research and discourse, which is... demonstrated very robustly that disasters are social constructs, right?
Yeah.
Do you think there's like value to the idea that you could say natural disasters are not natural? Or not really natural?
Not really natural. Well, then...
Because... So what I was just thinking when you were talking was like... And I get exactly the same experience where people say, oh, you research natural disasters... And it can be a bit awkward because you feel like you might need to find a way to explain without being like preachy.
Right.
That a disaster is a social construct, which most people are, that's going to like be...
Just don't wash over their heads, right? Yeah.
So it's like, how do you communicate that in a subtle way and explain that? That risk is actually caused by these social factors.
Yeah.
It's created in society by our choices as people, as like agents in society.
I think like the funny thing is that pretty much everyone I've ever engaged in this conversation with has absolutely kind of agreed, you know.
Yeah.
So once you know, if you're willing to spend sort of 5 minutes talking about it, right, which of course is not always possible, people always say, oh yeah, that makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just the phrase that is just such a part of our vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
that I guess people are just used saying it without thinking. I think the bigger problem is when we're trying to kind of explain to people that disaster is not the same as a hazard, you know, and we've seen this so much on Twitter, you know, and you probably remember that CNN article, which we kind of got quite trolled for, where people were saying, well, you're just so dumb for like not understanding that volcano is natural. And yeah, like I do understand that. But volcano and volcano eruption is not a disaster. I guess we just need to be better at explaining the difference, you know, and at explaining that not every hazard need to turn into a disaster.
Mm. Totally. So, and I think it's like looking at the, you know, looking at the science of both hazards and looking at the science of people.
Right.
And I think like some of the stuff that we're starting to work on, we're trying to understand how do people's kind of tendencies,
values.
So how do people's understanding of disasters as either caused by social factors or caused by nature affect their kind of thinking or their choices about how to reduce risk?
Mm.
And so what we believe is that there's a very fundamental difference in the options that people who truly understand that disasters are caused by social factors and decisions that we make, that they would have a better understanding of the fact that we need to address those kind of social inequalities and injustices,
mm-hmm.
if we're ever to reduce risk. So I'm so excited about doing that research and how that's developing.
Yeah, and just kind of trying to understand
mm.
how we make our decisions, you know, what mm-hmm. drives our
decisions. I think it's really, that sort of stuff is really needed, and we look forward to discussing and sharing more of our work as we go on through this podcast. But we also have so many cool guests coming on to lend their expertise to different topics. That's just going to be so cool to catch up with old friends and meet new people.
That's right, yeah.
And talk about all these different aspects of disasters. We are just really very privileged to have a chance to do this and to have people who are actually following us. And we look forward to hanging out with everybody on Twitter and talking about some really interesting stuff for us. I guess
it's for us. Yeah,
it's definitely interesting to all of you too.
Yeah, hopefully. And you know, if you have any good ideas on kind of what it is we could talk about in season two, but also like whom we could talk to, please let us know. Or indeed, you know, if you want to talk to us, please let us know, because it'll be just great to engage with people that whom we may not know yet.
Yep.
We will try and engage as much as we can.
Yep. And if there's any guests that come on that you think we need to have on more often, let us know.
Totally.
And we'll keep bothering them to
to come hang out with us
again.
Yeah.
At the moment, the podcast is already available on iTunes, which is probably where you got this episode. And the plan is to get out every Monday. So
right.
Listen in again next week.
So you can also find us on Twitter at DisastersDecon. Please follow us. Again, you know, post any questions, or we'd love to hear your comments as well on the podcast, on the episodes, you know, on the hosts, should you wish to, and on the guests. It'll be great to hear your comments. And also, we've got an Instagram account, also at DisastersDecon. We'll be posting some pictures from the studio, as we know it, but also hopefully from the field when we go and talk to the communities.
And our email account is disastersdeconstructed@gmail.com.
Oh yeah, yeah, please send us
an email
as well.
I think that's about it for this week.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully that gives you a bit of an idea of what to expect if you join us for this exciting journey. So much pressure. You've been listening to the Disasters Deconstructed podcast. I'm Jason Von Medi.
And I'm Ksenia Chmutina.
See you next time.
Bye.